Welcome to a brand new best podcast in baseball. That's right, it's Flag Day, and it's time for our annual check-in with Mike Claiborne, Mr. Flag Day himself. Cue the music. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the best podcast in baseball, brought to you by Closets by Design of St. Louis. I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould, joined this week by Hall of Famer and Cardinals broadcaster Mike Claiborne. It is, of course, our annual Flag Day conversation. We weren't together on Flag Day. We couldn't celebrate together, but you've joined the team here in Chicago, and let's get right to it. It's Flag Day. What do you make of this team?
Well, you know, I think it's a team that's grown a little faster than I think some people anticipated. You know, the emergence of Herrera has been really nice to see. Victor Scott II, you know, he's shown that he could be in the big leagues. Matthew Liberatore has shown that he's a legitimate big league starter. And then some other guys who started to come along. So I like the direction. That doesn't mean that they're going to be a 102-win team, because they're going to have their highs and lows, especially when it comes to pitching, because you have guys that are just being thrown in there. We saw Kyle Leahy last year, and he kind of, you know, got himself a position this year. And, you know, he's had some highs and lows, but more highs and lows. And, you know, I like the direction of the McGreevy's. We've seen a little bit of him. You know, I thought Graceffo did okay, trying to figure out what he is. And I think overall, the fact that Wilson Contreras did not disappoint anybody playing first base defensively.
That's been really good.
Terrific at first base. Brendan Donovan, I said on the broadcast recently, if you ever want to watch somebody play second base the right way, come watch Brendan Donovan. He does everything well. And the chemistry he and Mason Wynn have developed up the middle is reminiscent of the early days of Ozzie and Tommy Herr.
Really? What makes you say that? What about it? Is it just their coordination?
Yeah, their coordination, their anticipation. They're both reasonably athletic, and they don't make the mental mistakes, you know. And, you know, Mason has shown his ability with a great throwing arm to be able to throw from anywhere. And Brendan Donovan, his footwork around second base is really impressive. And then there's Nolan Arenado. I mean, I think he's having as good of a season defensively as we've seen him have in a while. The only concern I have is he takes that extra step, and he makes those plays at first base a little closer than what they used to be 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, I like what I see on the infield. I think the infield is pretty darn good. The outfield, you know, Lars Nootbaar's healthy, okay? And that's been good. But I think the more you see him, the more you see he has some concerns where defensively you like to see him a little bit better. He's going through a terrible slump right now, but that happens to everybody. Everyone goes through a slump, and he's trying to figure it out. Jordan Walker probably has the best throwing arm of anybody in the outfield. And I don't think I'd ever say that, along with the fact that when you start plugging him in the games defensively late, and you think about on the calendar this time last year, you would have never thought about that.
You'd be replacing him.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody else would be out there. So I like what I see.
I like to think that we have had a good community of listeners for this podcast for all the 13 years of it, but I know that we have new listeners too. So let's start with why Flag Day matters. All right, can you take us through that?
So here's why I look at Flag Day. Because since the start of the season, you've gone through hot streaks, cold streaks, good weather, bad weather. We've seen a lot of that.
So much bad weather.
We've seen guys that have been pleasant surprises. I just mentioned a few of them. We've seen a couple of guys that we thought we were going to get more out of, and it hasn't worked out like we thought. And you have a chance to have an injury or two and see how you respond. You get a look at some of your minor league prospects and see if they can really help you, or are they just guys you're going to have to take a look at and say, I don't think this guy is going to be able to put us in a position we need to be in. So you see all those things by Flag Day, and it also tells you this. You know by then what you need for the future. This isn't like you have to go up to the trade deadline day and then you just get what you can. No, you know what you need. And it's not going to change. So I'm of the belief, go get it now and make it work, compared to waiting until the last day of the trade deadline and you go out and get a guy, and in a lot of cases he's a rental, or maybe you pay too much because the team who gives him away is going to want, they're going to give him to you because you have control, so his price tag is going to be a little higher. I think if you know what you need, go get him now, and don't wait, because I think this year, you know, with the exception of the normal bottom feeders, everybody thinks they still have a chance. And I'm talking about teams that may be 7, 8, 9 games out of first place right now. There is still a lot of baseball to be played. And as we've seen in St. Louis and we've seen in other cities, teams can get hot, man. They can run off, you know, 10 out of 11, 12 out of 14, something along that line, and all of a sudden they're back in it.
We saw that with the Giants making the move with the Boston Red Sox, yes, with Rafael Devers. I mean, that came out of nowhere as far as the timing of the trade. I don't think anybody was surprised that Rafael Devers was traded by Boston, but maybe that it was the Giants who were like, we're going to take on the whole salary. But it speaks to what you're talking about. They wanted to say, hey, we're coming for the Dodgers and Padres.
And you're going to need every game you can get, and Devers brings something to that team they haven't had in a long time, a legitimate bat. And he can get used to that setup. I mean, now he wants to play anywhere and everywhere, and I'm of the belief, Derek, that situation in Boston was not about him not wanting to play first base. Right. I thought there were some other things that were underlying. I think that one of the things, from what I've been told, there was a language issue where I think some people misconstrued what he meant and what he said. He felt like he was disrespected in some regards.
Yeah.
But what does it say about an ownership, not a general manager, because we've had different general managers, where you've lost Devers, Bogarts, Mookie Betts? Think about that.
Yeah, the three NL West teams.
Exactly. And there's something that's gone awry there where, you know, you talk to different players and agents that say, I don't want to play in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, and they hear the stories about how things have been dealt with. And, you know, but going back to the Devers thing, I think that the Giants let everybody know, no, you know what, we think we can go for it right now. We get everybody back healthy, we think we can play with anybody. And in that division, you know, it's not just the Dodgers. The Padres are going to have something to say about it. And who knows? Arizona's had some tough luck on the injury front.
Absolutely.
You know, if Corbin Burns is still around, now you have to raise your hand and say, what about these guys? So there are a lot more teams who feel they're in it, and I think they're going to go out and address the issues earlier than later. I think too many times at the deadline, it's almost too late, in my opinion, because there's so many moving parts, and you have to hope this guy fits right off the bat. You can't say, well, he'll play himself into being able to contribute. No, you get a guy at this time of the year, now he plays himself into it. He doesn't have to worry about putting the pressure on himself or producing right off the bat. He's got plenty of time to get himself squared away. And then he gets the breather before the All-Star break, and then the reset button is pushed again.
Do you think that a move like the Devers trade and any of the other ones that may happen in the National League here in this coming week or 2 weeks, 10 days, if they happen, should nudge the Cardinals closer to being a seller? Do you look at that Devers trade as a message to the Cardinals as much as it is to the Dodgers and Padres, whether or not the Giants meant it or not, that the Cardinals ought to get one?
Well, yeah, it's a good question because, you know, people think about whether Cardinals may be sellers, and I'm saying to myself, who are you selling? Because everybody thinks, well, you can move Helsley, you can get something for him. Yeah, maybe. But, you know, let's face it, this isn't the Ryan Helsley of last year.
Okay, yeah.
And the fact that he's going to be more of a rental, so teams aren't going to give you that second, third best prospect or player. They're going to say, well, no, we can give you this guy. And we learned that the last time when we had a fire sale. You know, when you move Flaherty and you move the guys that went to Texas, you know, you got to be careful about that. So that's the first question, who you want to move. And so Helsley seems like the likely candidate.
Yeah.
What's the next level? And I don't know who that next level is. I mean, you don't want our catching. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Contreras has been a terrific first baseman. Herrera is going to be a very good DH, and maybe he ends up playing another position somewhere down the road. So I don't know who else would be intriguing enough that's not part of your future.
Well, one way to look at it would be, okay, so the biggest haul they got was, you know, I think we'd agree, so J.C., John King, and Tekoa Robey.
Yeah.
John King is a part of this bullpen.
Yes.
That's a good get. Tekoa Robey is one of the lively arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might be on his way to the big league bullpen. He's in AAA. He's got one of the liveliest arms, and I think I would – I got to be honest, Mike, I don't know how many Cardinals pitching prospects I would rank ahead of him. I might not rank any.
I wouldn't either. I mean, now granted, we've seen McGreevy, but Roby's stuff is swing and miss.
It's just so different. I might put him ahead of Quinn Matthews.
Yeah, I would too, because we've seen enough guys who hit bats. Okay,
yeah.
This is what this team is built on. We don't have Riley O'Brien is a guy that has swing and miss stuff. Okay, he's out of the bullpen, but our starters, Sonny on certain days of the week,
Sonny can, yeah.
But everybody else is pitched to contact, and we, you know, and that was fine when Dave Duncan was here. Okay.
It was fine when it was the 2010s, 2000s. Yeah, it's a different game.
Yeah, it's a whole different game. Yeah. So when you look at it that way, to just to have a different look is what Roby might be able to present.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a good deal that still we have not realized the true fruits of yet.
You're right.
But I think, you know, when you look at the other people on your roster, I don't know if they're attractive enough to be able to say for a team who's trying to win, not develop, but trying to win, we'd like to have Victor Scott, or we'd like to have Jordan. Those are developmental guys. They're still developing.
Yeah, I don't see them.
Yeah.
I do have one, I'll tell you who it is. I just think with if you use the model of what they got from Texas, the equivalent of that this year would be the reverse, whereas that was Jordan Montgomery and Chris Stratton, right? It was a complimentary reliever and a standout starter. The comparison for this year is the opposite, an impact reliever, Helsley, and a complimentary starter, Fetty. So you move those two together, you could say, all right, well, you get a pretty good haul if you could find a team that is the Texas equivalent, right? Okay,
yeah.
You could do that. The guy who sings out to me who's going to get a lot of attention if the Cardinals are willing to move him, and they, because there'll be enough interest in him, they will be able to drive up the price, is Steven Matz.
Yes. Oh, yeah. How could you forget him? And who has been that guy who's been the most pleasant surprise for this Cardinal pitching staff. Spring training starts. He was good enough to be a starter at the beginning of the season.
Still is.
Yeah. But since he's come out of the bullpen, he's given them everything they've needed and then some. He's just been terrific. His demeanor, his professionalism, you just don't find everywhere. Physically, he might be the best conditioned player on the team. So he's going to command some interest. I would agree with you there. But here's my question to you. At what's the number, what's the win total that you have to have by the – and I think you're going to make a decision earlier than later.
Really?
Yeah, I think you know what? I think when you get to early July, All-Star break, I think that's when you make the decision.
Interesting.
I think if you wait, there's going to be enough people moving around that you may not get what you want in return, and that guy may not have as much interest because there are going to be some other guys that will be comparable that you can say, well, you know what, we can get him too, and maybe he doesn't cost as much. But the best thing about the ones we're talking about, they're rentals.
Mm-hmm.
They're unrestricted. You know, you can bring them back if you want to. And who says the Cardinals might not want to bring Helsley back? I mean, because when you think about their bullpen closing situation, this Granillo might be a guy down the road.
Maybe.
You know,
yeah.
Graceffo could be a guy down
the road. I can see him doing it.
Yeah. But right now, they're still developing. So it's, to me, a very tricky time. Along with this, the current regime versus the future.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to push the button? Do they work in concert on who they want to keep?
Mm-hmm.
Are they on the same page of what they need? Let's say if they run off a few here in the next stretch, and now all of a sudden they feel like they're in it. So what would you want in return? What do you think you need? And I say you need bullpen help.
I think you need pitching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you need two closers. Because there's going to be times where you're going to have a guy like Helsley who's going to pitch, you know, two out of every 3 days.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I got a chance to sweep somebody, and I need a closer.
Yeah. It's not Phil Maton?
No. I think Phil Maton is a very good setup guy. I think I need to have a guy who's got the weaponry to make you swing and miss, but he also can trick you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Maton can make you – he can trick you. But I don't know, and I know he had a terrific game on Saturday where he struck outside. I don't know if that's for Maton.
That was a Brewer. He struck out a lot. I mean, the Brewers struck out a lot in that series.
But I don't know if he's the guy, and he has experience. I think he's a great middle guy. I mean, setup guy in the way Ollie's used him, and JoJo has been very good.
Yeah.
And I don't think Ollie gets enough credit about how he uses his bullpen. He's, in my opinion, he's a little short. but what he's been able to do with it is has been very good.
The roster short.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of times he's playing with 25 guys.
Yeah, or less.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times where he, because they have three catchers and then a catcher playing first base, but they have three catchers on the roster. They have a couple guys in the bullpen who aren't in the circle of trust, who aren't swing and miss.
Yeah.
You know, they are often choosing, you know, they don't really have the right-handed bat off the bench when Jordan's in the lineup. That's why Ryan Vallade was here, and I know that drove everybody crazy. But
see, I didn't see enough of him in spring training to think he should have even been a 40-man guy, to be honest with you.
It was fine. He plays so many positions.
He got off early in spring training, and then, you know, they started throwing him stuff he couldn't hit. And all of a sudden, he just became a guy.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I would hope the Cardinals can do in the future. Make spring training more competitive instead of the low-hanging fruit. Find some guys who may have something left. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had the infielder from Minnesota, you know, didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, he was going to back up Mason Wynn at some point because they didn't know if Wynn could hit.
Right.
That didn't work. Vlade was another guy. He's a right-handed bat. We'll put him out there. It didn't work. We got to be better at that. And that's hard. I think it's one of the hardest things to find guys who can stock your minor league system and be able to give you a week or two of at-bats or some extra innings, because I'm of the belief in pitching that today, if you don't have anywhere from 18 to 22 pitchers in your staff, you can't win.
Can't, no.
And we've been pretty fortunate. Most of the guys have made a contribution. Ryan Fernandez was the one guy who kind of hit the wall. We've had a couple of other guys who kind of like trying to figure it out. But I think they're safe enough to say they may be big league pitchers.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to give them a little bit more, as one baseball executive likes to say, a little bit more runway.
This is where the Dodgers really stand out, because they can churn through the DFAs and they can go and get Stratton, release Stratton, sign Stratton, release Stratton. They can do all that. Whereas other teams, because of the financial cost of doing that over and over again, or that you might get stuck with paying off the rest of a contract or whatever, other teams are reluctant to that. So the Cardinals are in a spot like these other teams where they do have to create quantity and look for quality to emerge.
With
options. Mm-hmm. So that's why you see them acquire guys like Rodri Munoz in the offseason. Does he have a lot of options? Does he have good stuff? Is there a chance that lightning strikes, or can he give us multiple innings? And he hit all those boxes.
Yeah, he checked the boxes. You know, I don't know how much further, what else he has left.
Right, yeah.
But you know what? For the brief time you had him, or you have him in your organization, you know, he's safe. And the shuttle has worked so far this year. So.
And they can option him again, and then they can option him that one time if they want to, and all of a sudden he's on waivers. And they're like, all right, well, he'll go do that for somebody else.
Exactly. We wish you the best. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, and that's where we're at with the bullpen. You seem to be describing the Cardinals as buyers. You mentioned that there's a win total around the All-Star break.
Yeah.
For me, it's where are they in the standings and what does the rest of the season look like? So I think you can kind of go like, where are you in the standings?
Yeah.
It's the same thing, win total.
And you know, when you look at the teams in front of you right now, you have Cincinnati and Milwaukee. Milwaukee can pitch, okay?
Holy cow.
They hit enough, but they can pitch. Cincinnati can hit. They got some interesting pitching that you have to respect. You play them in their ballpark, and they get to going, and, you know, when it starts, the weather starts to get warm, that ball's going to run out of that ballpark pretty quick. But I don't know if they have enough winning players, if that makes sense.
But, you know, it's so weird.
The division, none of us have winning players.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, you look at the Cubs, as good as they are, their manager.
Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, Tucker's a good player, but he's a first-year guy.
Tucker's a winning player.
Saying that the other guys, all right, boys, come on, I'm going to show you how this is done.
I think sneaky, quietly, and I could be wrong, but the times I've been around Kyle Tucker at an All-Star game or briefly at Houston, I think he is quietly that.
No, I would agree with you. I think he's that guy. And is he a guy that can lead by example? Well, I guess we're going to find out. But, you know, the Cubs.
Is he going to stick around?
Exactly. So, you know, but I think because of the division, I think anybody can get hot.
Absolutely.
And find themselves in a good position. You know, Chicago, I appreciate what they've done losing pitching, losing Steele. I think, you know, you have Steele, maybe this thing might be over with, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Good point. But they don't have him. And so what we have to figure out here with the Cardinals, handle your business. There's no reason to watch the scoreboard, okay? Don't watch the scoreboard. Just go play. And they've done that because they don't beat themselves many nights. Mm-hmm. They don't get blown out many nights. And so when you do that, you think about how many times they've had a tie run at the plate in the ninth inning. I mean, that happens a lot. Now, the problem is they haven't been able to push that run across a lot of times. Mm-hmm. But the fact is they don't give away at bats like they've had in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's going to keep that spirit alive, where they know they can be better than what they've shown. And how they're handling this little cold streak that they've gone through now is something that I'm paying close attention to, because it's going to get harder.
Yeah.
You know, you get Cincinnati, then you get on the road, you're going to face a Cleveland team that, you know what, Cleveland, watching Stephen Kwan hit, that's all I need to see right there.
Yeah.
And they have some other good players. Pittsburgh, you just never know with them.
I think we know with them.
They have a collection of players, and then you have
Good pitching.
Then you get the Cubs again. So we'll see.
Well, I mean, they got so many series here against the Cubs that's the litmus test, right? So you talk about like when they make a decision on whether they're buyers or sellers. The Cubs will play a heavy factor in whether or not the Cardinals say, "All right, look, this isn't our season."
If Cubs start taking 3 out of 4, winning 2 out of 3, then we say, "Okay, you know." But they're going to have a chance to prove it. And they won't have anybody to blame or credit but themselves. And I'm looking forward to seeing how they match up.
So talk me out of this analogy or agree with it. I'm not putting you on the spot that you have to talk me out of it. But you can say, oh, that's right. I once again see a scenario where the Cardinals could be trapped in the middle, the turtle on the fence post, where they have been so often where it's been like, we'll do a small thing on hopes that it becomes a big benefit, or we'll do a small thing and mostly keep who we have and kind of play for both the future and the present. You know, that they won't, despite this year being the runway reset, rebuild, retool, whatever year, despite this being the transition year to Heim Bloom, they won't fully commit to giving up entirely on this season. And yet they also won't fully commit to winning this season, which will then trap them again as the turtle on the fence post. Well, am I wrong?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a very good way to look at it, because they're going to be just good enough to contend, but not good enough to just be all out. And that's where you have to do your checklist of players. Do we see enough of Gorman? Do we see enough of Burleson? Do we see enough of we've seen enough of Herrera? We've seen enough of those guys to say, all right, now we know we have our nucleus. We have Arenado. We don't know what to do with him. I mean, he's played pretty well, and I thought the way he's handled himself this year in that very awkward situation has been good. But you still need some help in some other areas.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll give you a good example. Who is Lars Nootbaar?
Who is the Cardinals' outfielder?
Exactly.
Who is that guy? Because I know who Crow Armstrong is. Yeah. Holy cow. He's getting a million all-star votes.
Yeah.
The Cardinals, what, combined, do they have as many all-star votes?
No.
Who is their all-star guy? Who's their all-star outfielder?
They don't have one. Not as we speak, they
don't
have.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Now, I think your only all-star is Brendan Donovan. Maybe Herrera is your DH, but they have
Sonny Gray.
Yeah, Sonny Gray. They got a guy in the LA. He might end up being the DH. The Ohtani.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I look at those guys as heavily considered. Yeah. Hey, you know what?
I think Brendan might get the player vote. I think he might. I think it'll be really interesting to see what support he gets from his peers. I think he might. Ketel Marte is set to be the starter, but I'm real eager to see if the peers rally around Donovan, because that's sort of the vibe I get of where his place is right now and how he's performed.
I agree with you. Every manager or player that comes into St. Louis I got a chance to visit with, they always ask me about him, and I just say keep an eye on him. And then by the end of the series, they're like, yeah, you're right, he's a pretty good player. So you hope that works out.
What happens? You mentioned how Nolan Arenado has handled this, and I want to ask this question through that kind of lens is, you know, year-round, I'm around we get a chance to see and try to share with fans what he means to that clubhouse, to individual players in that clubhouse, how fond his teammates are of him. In the same vein, what happens if at the trade deadline, maybe they do find a taker for him, or maybe they do find a taker for some of these guys who are veterans, who are, you know, friends and meaningful people around these young players? What happens if they remove that from the clubhouse to development? Could that be a detriment in a way that is difficult? Could that have unforeseen circumstances for development?
I don't think so, because I think there's some guys in that clubhouse like Donovan and Mason Wynn and some players of that nature that are ready to be more vocal, more the leader. And you know, I'm about leadership, about how you play.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's a lot of pep talks that go on anymore.
Yeah.
I think there's guys who take other guys, and Wilson Contreras, I put him in that category as being one of the leaders on this team. You better get something for Arnado, though. You just don't get a bag of balls. Get something for him, because he can still help the team.
How wild is it going to be, Mike, if they do make a trade like that, and all of a sudden you look around the clubhouse and the Cardinals in that clubhouse who have any playoff experience at all are minimal? And we always talk about the passing of the torch, the guys who would teach one generation to what to teach the next generation about how to, you know, contend, how to get to October, the importance of October. And you're standing in the middle of that clubhouse and you're looking around at a Cardinals team with zero Octobers?
Yeah, you know what? You might have to make a deal for a guy like that as a rental.
Who's coming from the outside, and that would be totally against what they talk about their tradition. They're going to be looking to you.
I can't help them.
It's going to be Daniel Descalso and John Jay. What it is.
You're right, because we don't have guys who play for the Cardinals. You know, you tried it with Tommy Pham. That kind of worked.
Yeah.
Because he made guys accountable and understood.
That's good.
But
they had a grand slam.
Yeah, there's no one that's playing elsewhere that you can bring back that is experienced the Cardinal way that you and I have known it. And
it's been too long.
And John Jay and even Ollie, you know.
We're in an indictment.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, there's a lot of fingers you can point at that on why that's happened.
Yeah. You can point them at the Washington Nationals.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's some things that you look at and you say, well, you know, but overall.
And the Phillies. Actually, point the fingers at the Phillies. Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things that it's going to be trying. And I'll tell you something. You better start finding some guys who played here that you bring back to spring training and let them be more engaged in what's going on. And, Grant, you have Jay Descalzo. You know, you got
Adam Wainwright likely coming back next spring.
So those guys have to have – they just can't put the uniform on and just go out and tell jokes and tell stories. They have to actually be out and – let these guys know, hey, man, this is how we would do this and this or that. And make sure you let your players know, hey, don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to ask questions.
All right, let's close here with Flag Day, all right? A year ago, spring training 2024, you and I talked in Jupiter, and I remember it vividly, and we talked about how maybe that was a team that had to make a decision on what it was earlier than Flag Day. I'm wondering if this is a different kind of team. If maybe this team we're at Flag Day, and are they a reset? Are they? They're more youthful than ever before. We talked about how they're peeling away. There's less of a veteran presence. There are veterans, but there's less of that kind of Cardinal core veteran presence than there's been in the past. So is it possible this team might just take longer than Flag Day to decide what it is, and it might actually be Flag Day 2026?
No.
When we know?
No, I think they're further along.
Okay.
To know what they need and know who they are, because they've been given, most of them been given enough runway to prove, hey, I deserve to be in a big league, and I'm good enough to be a regular on the Cardinals. So I think that's to me has been decided for the most part. But do you need help? Yeah, you need help. I mean, as I talked about pitching, you need to figure out what a right-handed bat looks like. You need to know what your bench looks like, things of that nature. And if you do that, you can come in next year and say, "Yeah, all right, boys, we got a new player at the table. It's going to be the St. Louis Cardinals."
So you need help for the future.
Yeah. You still do, and your pitching has to come along. You know, the Robies of the world. When we roll into Jupiter next year, those guys are vying for a spot in the rotation, and it'll be up to you have Sonny and Libertor and Palante, and then you have some a new fresh batch of guys that are going to get their innings, along with bringing up some guys from Memphis where, you know, he may not get 30 starts, but he's going to be in the mix.
Excellent. That is Mike Claiborne, broadcaster for the St. Louis Cardinals, Hall of Famer, multiple Halls of Fame, Hall of Famer, no, Halls of Famer. That's the way to say it. And, of course,
I just trust what you write.
Well, yeah, if I had written this down, it would be a lot better. I'm just speaking off the cuff. This speaking is your game here. Happy Flag Day.
Same to you, sir, and always a pleasure visiting with you.
Thanks to Mike Claiborne for joining me for this Best Podcast in Baseball, which we'll just call the Flag Day edition because it's close enough to Flag Day, right? I mean, it's still on the same road trip as Flag Day. You can listen to Mike, of course, on the mic for Cardinal games there at KMOX. He's there in the booth with John Rooney and Ricky Horton and does a lot of the pre- and post-game work for KMOX and the Cardinals Radio Network. You can find all of the coverage from this road trip, of course, in the pages of the Post-Dispatch and online at stltoday.com. Just got done cranking out the rain delay coverage, or I guess it's more postponed game coverage at this point, because the Cardinals are angling towards their sixth doubleheader of the season, and it's still, yes, we're calling it Flag Day, it's still Flag Day. The Best Podcast in Baseball is brought to you weekly by Closet by Design of St. Louis. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Please look to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts, and of course subscribe to it. Subscriptions make sponsorships possible, and it's sponsorships that make this weekly podcast possible. For those of you who go and read the reviews like I do, you'll notice that someone says every June they kind of peter out. Well, in my defense, last June I did take a long hiatus to go on a lengthy hike, and there really wasn't the access to do a podcast, nor how would you've all been that interested in a podcast from the San Diego Crystal Mountains? Maybe, but it wouldn't have been about baseball. It would have been about, I'm not quite sure, some of the weather was really difficult to get through. Of course, some of this weather is really difficult to get through. Anyway, regardless, I'm off on a tangent. But this June, no, full speed ahead, weekly podcast. We got some planned already for the weeks ahead, so look for it. Again, thanks to Mike Claiborne for joining me in the press box at Wright Field to talk about the Cardinals and this road trip and the upcoming showdown with the Cubs and the bigger showdown ahead, which is with the trade deadline decision. We'll be talking about it here at the Best Podcast in Baseball. I'm Derek Gould, baseball writer at the Post-Dispatch. Talk to you soon.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.